Before I get started today, I wanted to make sure that I gave a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie is a stress and mind body coach based out of Los Angeles. You might remember that she guest hosted the podcast back in January, came on live with me in August of 2021, and she was here again in August of 2022, where we did episode 238 called Stress Talk. Jeannie spent 16 years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and a whole bunch of other chronic symptoms that left her physically and mentally exhausted. She healed herself completely, and now she's obsessed with getting her clients results through her one-on-one coaching program, FAST. In this program, clients learn how to decrease stress, release stuck negative emotions, and finally heal their chronic pain. Are you feeling stuck in your journey? Are you frustrated because you're knowledgeable about these TMS concepts, but you just haven't seen any improvement? Maybe it's difficult for you to implement the tools, or you tell yourself that you just don't have time. Perhaps your next step is help one-on-one with a coach that specializes in support, consistency, accountability, and results. Jeannie offers a free 45-minute consult where you'll identify what's holding you back so you can take your next steps for healing. Go to her website, jeanniecolwin.com. That's JeannieKulwin.com, and book your free call to see if it's a good fit. Welcome back. It's a rare Friday edition of the podcast. Actually, thinking back, I don't think I've ever actually done a Friday podcast edition, but it's December 2nd. The reason for the Friday show this week, this rare Friday show, I'll get to in a minute, but I want to make sure that I give a shout out to the patrons of the podcast. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I've got a new patron this month, Albert. Thank you so much for coming on and showing your support to the show, showing your love to the show. I can promise that this thing would not be going on to episode 252, which is what today is, without the support of the patrons. So without further ado, I'm going to start from the very beginning, though. Barb, who's been supporting the show now for over 4 years. Arnie has as well, over 4 years now, since November 16th and 17th of 2018, which is just, it's crazy. So thank you to both of you. Brian and Julie and Ross and Christina all came on in 2019. And then in 2020, Mike and Michael and Tony and Kelly and Irina and Mindy and Jason. And then in 2021, John and Sylvie and Sasha and Dominic. And then 2022, this year, Enda, Elise, Amanda, Paul, Emily, Kirk, Daniel, Deborah, Vicky, and Albert. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast. Again, go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast if you're interested in supporting. So, like I said, this was episode 252. Now, last week, I had the idea or the concept of, hey, why don't I ask some listeners to send me breakthroughs that they've had since like sort of their pre-TMS knowledge existence and their post. And there was a lot of really awesome post that came through that. And then today, my buddy Brad commented on this old post in a TMS group that we're on Facebook, where somebody had asked the question, what boundaries have you had to put in place to allow you to recover from your symptoms? And so I'm actually going to spend today going through that thread. I'm not going to read names because I didn't get any permission from people. But a lot of the answers in here are awesome. And it may help you think and consider and sort of evaluate some of the elements of your own life. But first, the reason this is a Friday show, so I live in the Pacific Northwest. Oftentimes, it's pretty mild around here. We don't usually get big storms, power outages. We get snow usually once a year, but a lot of times it doesn't happen until late January, early February. And then we get completely poured on for a day or two, and then it's gone a day or two after that, as if it was never here to begin with. So a week or so ago, there's this Twitter account that I follow called the Seattle Weather Blog, and I think he's an atmospheric scientist, I think. But he's always quoting out or putting out data about storms that are modeled or that are modeling. And he had said that there would be a significant storm happening on Tuesday, November the 29th. And I had told my wife about it, and our oldest daughter, Zoe, did not have snow boots that fit her. And so I had said, hey, like, we should probably get her some snow boots. And then my wife went to order some, and Amazon had them back ordered until the 7th of December, I think. And I was already going to be driving an hour away from work, or a couple hours away from our home for a work event this past Monday, the 28th. And I said, hey, I can just go. I'll pick them up. They're about an hour in between, or they're in between where I'm going and where we live. So I picked them up. Thank God I did, because the next day it was just like the most, I've lived here in Washington since, gosh, when was it? It was either August or September of 1995. So I've been here for a long time. I don't recall a storm quite like that, where it happened so fast and very few people had a lot of foresight that it was going to be coming in that way. So when I say 4 to 5 inches of snow in our area, that's not much. But it's how quickly it happened. We had a dusting at 5 p.m. and by 7 or 8 p.m., transformers and substations were exploding, and power was going out all over the city, and snow was getting pretty crazy. And my wife and I are watching the Seattle Kraken game, NHL, and they're playing a great game against the Kings, the Los Angeles Kings. And then our power kind of starts to flicker a little bit. And then we start seeing what we thought was lightning at first. And it turns out the power substation across the street had exploded, had caught on fire. And what we were seeing was the blue flames, because it was so hot, the blue flames that were coming from this. We see cars passing by, and I posted a video on the Facebook page about this, but it was just crazy. And then eventually we started hearing transformers or fuses blowing all around the area. Boom. And then it'd be a couple minutes later, boom, boom. And it was crazy. So eventually they just cut power to the whole city. Even the hospital actually was out of power for a period of time. So they cut power to the city. This was about 9 or 9:30 PM. And then, eventually we got it back around 5:15 a.m., but our kids were totally freaked out. Audrey, the youngest, was up from 2 a.m. until 5 a.m. She just couldn't get herself to sleep with the loud noises and the really, really bright flashes in the sky were coming through even her blackout curtains. It was just the whole thing. It was crazy. And I made this joke. So 2008, I had watched the movie The Day After Tomorrow, and then literally the night of, we just got pounded with snow, and it snowed continuously it was like 2 weeks. Couldn't even get out of the house for a lot of those days. I drove a Honda Accord. And so I joked with my wife when I sat down and the transformer started blowing up. I'm like, you know, I watched The Day After Tomorrow this past weekend. And she like, no, you didn't. And no, I didn't. But you know, anyway, crazy storm. The snow was still here. It froze overnight. I went to go walk the dogs this morning, and it was like being on an ice skating rink. So yeah, it's supposed to snow again tomorrow, so I guess we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it won't be in the way that it was over the last couple of days. So nevertheless, the kids' schools were closed. Audrey had been sick for the 3 days before anyway, so she was home, and now she's back today. So now Zoe is sick, and it's just kind of been a wild week. Hence the podcast that's late by a day or two, but you know, whatever. So anyway, this comes from the Facebook group that I'm in, and again, one of the Facebook groups that I moderate. I moderate two, my own, and then TMS - the mind-body syndrome. Again, the question was, what boundaries have you had to put in place to allow you to recover from your symptoms? So I was actually the first one to comment. This was from a year ago. I said, the boundary of allowing myself to know that a thought or feeling is nothing more than a fleeting moment, as opposed to the rigid forever truth that I believed for 30 years. Meaning that if I thought ill will or negative of somebody or a situation or anything, that was the absolute truth, and it wasn't just a feeling or a thought in the moment. So that is a very powerful thing. And it also just kind of started had me thinking about, I love the show 24, and in season 8, it's the one that takes place in New York. There's a new CTU director, and he's just being badgered and pushed around all the time by the people that are at the top end of the government. And Jack Bauer says, did you know that the people that last here and the ones who matter are the ones who say no? And he's talking about boundaries, and that's a big part. So somebody else said, it told my family to stop asking how my symptoms were. Somebody else said, one of my first steps was to stop talking about symptoms, which included telling friends and family to stop asking about symptoms. So when people went and saw Dr. Hanscom, especially in the later years of his career, if somebody was going to see him, he would invite the family in. This was a requirement. The families had to come in, and they all had to make an agreement that nobody would be able to talk about his patient's pain to them or to anybody for 12 weeks. That was a big part of it. So not talking about it, really putting the, I mean, his is the DOC program, direct your own care. But that's a big component of this is, you know, being the one that's really in charge of your own fate and your own destiny in a lot of ways, if you will. So, somebody else said, my life pre-TMS work was full of boundaries. If I stand up too fast, I'll get symptoms. If I walk too far, I'll get symptoms. If I sleep badly, I'll get symptoms. Living a life where I constantly push the boundaries of what I'm capable of seems to be more therapeutic to me at the moment. This person's comment made me think of that period. I've talked about this before, but I had shoulder surgery in 2016. I go through all the rehab. All my stuff was going great. Even though the doctor and the physical therapist cleared me for all activity and said that you're ready, you can do it, you have no limitations now, I still did not really trust myself entirely. And that hesitation or thought that, hey, if I do this or if I do this particular sport thing or I lift in this way, I'm going to hurt myself. And that second guessing brought a tidal wave of fear, which likely perpetuated into things getting really, really bad at the tail end of that recovery. In places not even related to my shoulder. It would be my mid back or my upper back or my fingers or my hands or my knee or whatever, because I had a lot of fear and trepidation around everything that I did. Somebody else said, I used to go along with other people's choices and often didn't even know what I wanted for myself. My body would let me know that I wasn't listening to myself by creating pain. Once I started doing this work, I needed to create the space for me to listen to myself. I had to say no a lot more and challenge my fears about being a difficult person or demanding. The more I learn to listen to and honor my inner self, the less pain I have and the more I enjoy my life. I've been talking about something similar to this with Zoe, my oldest, who's in third grade now. And she has kind of this mentality. I haven't been able to determine if it's a victim mentality or if this stuff is actually happening, but she talks a lot about kids who say things to her that really make her upset. And I've started to tell her, you know, I'm being absolutely straight with her. What you need to do is you need to tell this person, if they, you know, they say this thing to you, that you have no right to talk to me like that. You are not allowed to treat me in that way. And take that firm approach. And that's something that I think everybody can really value from. And I felt the same way. I, for a long time, telling somebody no or things like that, really, it was troubling to me because I didn't want to. I would just grind my teeth and do whatever the task was. But being able to say no, or I'm not doing that, or taking a stand or whatever, it doesn't really matter the situation, has been very empowering to do that. So somebody else commented, I still try to fix some others while I know how to move on. Another commenter said, nobody gets to upset me. I had to cut my brother off. He loves drama and trying to run my life. I'm 62. He even asked to have power of attorney over me, and I'm a healthy, independent, and live with a long-term boyfriend. If I comment on social media, I don't go back and see what people say in case it triggers me. I've recently realized that all my trauma is early trauma. All my triggers take me back to the original feeling. There's nothing new in the universe, so whatever I feel, it really is my 1 to 7-year-old reacting to the initial trauma. That's really profound. There is nothing new in the universe. That's true. There's not a lot of original instances or things that you could be called or situations you've run into that will be completely new. They will almost always remind you of something that happened at the prior part of life, and in most cases, adolescence. And that's like the re-triggering that this person's talking about. Somebody commented on that. They said, the subconscious has no sense of time, so often we are stuck in past loops. It's really amazing healing. Somebody else said, I quit a stressful job, only work part-time and only in work I love. Need time alone each week with no demands or obligations to recharge, reboot, or restore. If I have things in place, I am 100% well. I've lived for the last year on about 30% of the income I had previously and have never been happier. Priorities have shifted entirely. Somebody else said, requesting my spouse to let me take the time I need to recover and not establish a deadline. That's perfect. Good question. I'm leaving so many debilitating boundaries behind, but I'm getting a lot better about saying no to people, not worried about stretching myself to the limit in order to please people, you know, so they'll like me. Please like me. Also, just putting up with less bullshit in general for myself and others. It's self-respect, right? Being able to say no and not do things. I mean, I have workout programs and things like that where, hey, if I'm not feeling it, I'm just not feeling it and I ain't doing it. And there's lots of instances where, hey, I'm just not going to go do something because I just don't want to do it. So those sorts of things happen a lot. And I think one of the things that people with type T personalities or TMS personalities that they get away from is sort of an intuition that we kind of all have, where we have these gut feelings about things and then we just ignore them. So somebody else says, I read Boundaries by Townsend and realized how important it is to my introverted self not to say yes all the time. When I did, I felt angry and then guilty that I was being selfish. Now I know I need a lot of alone time, and if people don't like that, too bad. Totally true. We will play this mental masturbation game where it's like somebody asks you to do something that you don't want to do, and you have two choices. You can either say no and not do it, or not go to that place or do that thing or whatever, or you can begrudgingly say yes, resent them, resent yourself the whole time you're doing it, and then tell the story back to yourself for hours or days or weeks or maybe even longer about how much you hated doing that thing that you could have just said no to in the beginning. So that's perfect. I like that. I learned much about narcissism, identified people who were making my life miserable through gaslighting, manipulation, lying, gossiping, and other skills, and I went low or no contact. You know, I will say that one thing this makes me think of is really like the polarization of a lot of things over the last couple of years, at least in my country that it's been. And there have been plenty of instances and people where I just feel like this is not suiting me. It's not suiting me anymore. It's not providing me a benefit. There is no net gain I get out of being around this person or interacting with this person. So cut them loose. And that's all there is to it. Somebody else said, I got divorced, started saying F it a lot, saying no, not taking crap from people. Some boundaries were more internal. I think that's great. Any infringement, implicit or explicit, on my personal space, mental or physical, without invitation is a place where I put a strong boundary. That's perfect. I think that's terrific. And very much open to interpretation. I thought this was a lot of fun. Short, 20 minutes or so. Go take a walk. Go get outside. Go do something that you love. I hope that you all have a great weekend, and hopefully this was a nice way to spend your Friday. So take care, everybody. Talk to you later.